You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
With you until 2, we're Grant and Danny, and you're locked into The Fan. 12:45 today, our NFL power rankings, and as we continue, 15 years ago today, one of the craziest scenes in sports unfolded. We will look back at one of the wackiest all-time moments in the NBA.
Crazy.
But right now, to the Mattress Warehouse hotline we go, and our buddy Will Brinson of CBS Sports joins us. Will, week 12 set to begin. What's your number one storyline right now as you move forward in the NFL that you're tracking, you're most fascinated by?
Real quickly, I remember I remember the television I was watching in the room I was in when the Malice in the Palace. I think that's what you're talking about, right?
Yeah, that's right. That's crazy.
Yeah, I mean, like, it was like the 28-inch JVC box TV at my house on Cartier Lane in college. I mean, that's how distinctly I remember the whole thing unfolding. But yeah, I would say, you know, I think it's really, I mean, this sounds cliche and dumb, but I'm curious what you guys think. But I really believe the MVP race is really interesting this year. There's Patrick Mahomes on the fringe. I think a guy that you guys used to watch a lot, Kirk Cousins, is borderline on the fringe, and no one's really talking about him. And then you have Russell Wilson, Lamar Jackson, and Dak Prescott. And it's not so much that we're arguing about who should be the MVP, you know, right now. It's week 12. Like, who cares? There's a lot of football left to be played. But I do think that it's interesting to watch how it's going to unfold moving forward, because those three guys, Dak, Lamar and Russell, are all going on the road, all with pretty big challenges. Like, Seattle's going to Philadelphia. Now, they might not have Lane Johnson, but their secondary looked better. That's a huge win for Seattle to try and keep pace with the 49ers. They're playing the Packers at home. Dak going to New England. Dak's like the analytics darling right now. But if you go to New England and beat Bill Belichick and you play well, that you're going to get a serious boost in terms of discussion of your candidacy. And then Lamar going to play the Rams in Los Angeles on Monday night. You know, that was a pick 'em as a look ahead line. The Ravens have played so well. The Rams have looked bad on offense. So it's Ravens -3, which is a, you know, pretty huge number. And, you know, if there's anybody to sort of confound Lamar Jackson, I could see Wade Phillips doing it. That Rams defense is playing pretty well. So I'm curious to see how those three games in particular shake out and maybe alter the MVP race as we know it right now.
Well, let's double click on the Rams. Basically, they were everybody's darlings and everyone tried to copy them. Yeah, it's a little bit old school. I apologize. I shouldn't use that. But you get on. Everyone tried to copy it. They wanted a young head coach with, like, a nice head of hair that just had, like, cool ideas about faking some handoffs. And now all of a sudden they're a cautionary tale at this point. Even though they're 6-4, they're not bad, but they don't look like the team that set the league on fire. How did we get here?
Well, I think they sort of ran the same scheme repeatedly, right? The outside zone run. And two, the offensive line completely collapsed. I mean, I think two is way more important than one. I mean, we've seen Sean McVay adjust what he wants to do. Teams have sort of figured out that if on third down they double team Cooper Kupp, that it makes life really difficult for Jared Goff. You can sort of disguise what he's seeing. He starts to look for Kupp, and then all of a sudden he's got two guys on him. He's got to throw to Robert Woods or find Gerald Everett. The personnel has sort of shifted on him because of injury. And then, like, they had some attrition on the offensive line in the offseason. And that's really been the biggest difference to me. I mean, like, Jared Goff hasn't had a ton of time to throw. They haven't been able to open up holes in the running game the way that they had previously. And, I mean, look, like, I don't know that Sean McVay, the bloom is off the rose, so to speak, or anything like that. I mean, certainly it's fair to question some of his adjustments, especially in-game stuff. You know, we haven't seen him really, counter at halftime when the offense isn't working. But they're still 6-4, and they're still okay. You know, the offense hadn't shown a whole lot, and they're still in the hunt. So I give him a little bit of credit for that, and I think we started to see some running against the Bears that worked a little bit better. I'll be curious to see if it carries over against the Ravens, but the offensive line, to me, really has been the biggest issue. When they transformed that when McVay got there, like with Andrew Whitworth as the free agent signing in the offseason his first year, and now it's just fallen off a cliff, and if they don't fix that, they're probably going to be sitting at home come January.
Will, was this past weekend the final chapter of the Kaepernick comeback? Is this dead in the water now?
I think so. Like, you can't come out and say, quit running scared and then expect to get signed, right? There are probably, you know, if we erase all the agendas on both sides, by the way. Like, I don't think that everybody is agenda-free here, or anybody's agenda-free here, and certainly not when people are yelling about it on Twitter. But I think, you know, I think if you take it at, you know, face value, yes, Kaepernick would be good enough to play in the NFL or to hold a job in the NFL. Unfortunately, you know, there are a lot of teams who, you know, won't be interested for various reasons, and a lot of teams, and sometimes that reason is they don't want to deal with the headache that comes with it. And I think Colin Kaepernick has made it clear that if he comes to a team, you know, he's not going to be quiet and go about his business and play football, right? I mean, you saw what he did after the workout. So I think that's problematic in the sense of him trying to find a job. The whole conspiracy angle of the NFL trying to hoodwink him into signing a waiver and get his signature, like that would be the dumbest bit of subterfuge ever to have been attempted, which makes it like simultaneously not possible, but also very possible because of how the NFL operates.
Another guy that we think once back into the league, although I'm not really sure, is Antonio Brown. He's so all over the place. And all we know about him, I hate to reference Twitter like it matters, but that's all we get. That's the look into his life that we have. He had a big apology that he came out and sent the Patriots and Robert Kraft after he met with Roger Goodell. Do you think he plays again?
I mean, that apology sure did look like a try to get back in the Patriots' good graces move, didn't it? And it comes on the heels of Tom Brady, you know, grumbling about the offense's production. Clearly he feels like he needs more weapons. He needs more protection on that team. Their offense isn't very good right now. Antonio Brown would give them, again, in a vacuum, a big boost. Conspiracy Will believes that, and I love being a conspiracy head, but I tend to think that, you know, if he's going to take those shots at Robert Kraft, as he did publicly on Twitter, then leave them up for a long time, then delete them, then issue an apology, that there's something working behind the scenes. As I pointed out too, there's a semicolon in there. He's never used a semicolon in his life. Like I scrolled through and did a control F on Antonio Brown's like timeline for like 6 months. He doesn't use semicolons. And so to me, this is being orchestrated behind the scenes as a way to try and maybe set him up for going to the Patriots. I do think, however, guys, that the NFL will continue to drag its feet on this to prevent Antonio Brown from coming back in, because it's bad business for the NFL to have Antonio Brown playing on the field. And frankly, I don't think they care at this point, you know, how long the investigation takes. But if he's cleared, I would expect that the Patriots would absolutely consider signing him.
Well, there are 7 teams, by my count, that have at least 8 wins, and then there are 9 that have at least 7. You add in Kansas City and Buffalo. So let's go with the 7 teams that have at least 8 wins. Who among them, if you had to wager, is fraudulent?
A fraudulent 7-win team?
A fraudulent 8-plus win team that's going to bow out early in the postseason.
Oh, man. A fraudulent 8-win team. See, Danny, you have to list them for me. I'm just kidding. I'm going to look at them. I mean, it's hard to find a fraudulent 8-win team.
Like someone you're not buying. Seattle, San Francisco, New Orleans, Green Bay, Minnesota, New England, Baltimore. Those are your 7.
Okay. Yeah, I mean, I think that's a good list of teams. Like, if you made it to 6, it'd be a lot easier to find a fraudulent team. I don't think New England's fraudulent. They have Belichick. They have Brady. A great defense. Baltimore's legitimate. I mean, everything about them is real. I would say if I had to pick a team out of this group, I would probably go with the 49ers, mainly because I think we've seen against at least, you know, the Cardinals, who are not a great defense, that you can slow them down running. And that Jimmy Garoppolo, if you look at his stats, his splits, Cardinals versus not Cardinals, they're not great. And he's looked questionable at times. And I think they'll take care of the Packers on Monday night. So or Sunday night, excuse me. So I'm sort of like hedging my bets here, but I just think that that's a team that you can catch on the wrong day. And if they don't have a great defensive performance, you can really take care of them. The Seahawks would probably qualify because they've been really lucky in close games, But I am just not fading Russell Wilson in the playoffs or in primetime. It's just a bad move.
Will, thank you, buddy. Good having you on the show as always.
You guys got it. Have a great day.
See you, buddy.
Check out Will Brinson's work. CBS Sports is where he plies his trade. Ohio State fans saying no thanks to College Game Day? We'll explain.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/decide. That's linkedin.com/decide. Terms and conditions apply.
Grant and Danny, 106.7 The Fan. Thanks for listening and welcome back. With you until 2 today. At noon, we're going blitzing around the Beltway. I think you'll want to be tuned in an hour. We're going to discuss the future of Bruce Allen. What will it take for him to either keep or lose his job down the stretch this season? The college football playoff rankings came out last night. How closely are you tracking those at this point?
I kind of start to really pay attention come December to those things. Because I think early on, it's just so people talk about it every week. We're like, now, this is a bad example because Alabama just lost to LSU. But when everyone knows Alabama is the best team in the country, Alabama will be third for some reason. And everybody knows that Clemson is the second best team in the country, and they'll be fifth. But it's just so that there's, you know, reason and fodder and rankings, and it's going to end up where it's supposed to be.
I get what you're saying. I don't know that I feel that way right now about these rankings in the sense that, to me, LSU is the best team in the country, and they're listed number one. I think Ohio State is probably the second-best team in the country, and they're number two. Clemson feels like the third-best team in the country, even though they've had such a weak schedule. They're third. Then you've got Georgia fourth and Alabama fifth. Both the Bulldogs and the Crimson Tide playing in the SEC this year do have one loss. So you've got 9-1 Georgia, 9-1 Alabama. Georgia lost over a month ago, though. Maybe that's the difference. Alabama lost just a couple of weeks ago. And they have identical resumes. Both are 5-1 at home, 3-0 on the road. But then you got Oregon, Utah, Oklahoma, Penn State, Florida kind of rounding out the top 10. I bring this up, though, because this weekend, Ohio State is hosting all of the pregame shows for a huge matchup in the Big Ten and a huge matchup for them. Two of the top 10 teams in the country, number 9 Penn State at number 2 Ohio State. So the biggest rivalry in college football, maybe, is Ohio State, Michigan. And that's a week from now in Michigan, 2 versus 12. This could be a better game, though. At least it's supposed to be because Penn State is favored as a number 9 team over a number 12 team, Michigan, to put up a better scrap with
better
Ohio
fight,
State.
You'd say.
I would say anecdotally, I don't know about you, just having seen a lot of those teams this season, I think Michigan's probably better than Penn State. You agree with that or disagree with that?
I would disagree with that. I don't think Michigan's dynamic enough offensively.
Early in the year, Michigan was not good. I think they've played better.
They played
than
better
Penn
of
State
late, for sure. But yeah, Penn State losing just a couple weeks ago sticks in your mind a little bit,
yeah,
maybe.
When I watch Penn State, I'm just never impressed.
I get it.
They got a quarterback who I feel bad for the kid. I read a story last night that he deleted all of his social media because he's getting a bunch of death threats and hate.
I'm sure that's great.
I mean, people need to just completely check out on sports if you're doing that. But after losing to Minnesota, they basically went back and forth for a while with Indiana. They eventually won 34-27. But to me, they're just not playing like a team that can hang with Ohio State.
I get it.
They did beat Michigan for what it's worth in mid-October by one touchdown. It was 28-21. So anyway, so this weekend, Penn State, Ohio State. So everybody shows up.
Right.
College Game Day is going to be there for my money, the best pregame show on sports television. The I don't even really know this show that well, but there's like a big college noon kickoff or something on Fox Sports. I've bumped into it a few times. Urban Meyer's one of their analysts. So they'll be there, and Urban Meyer's going back to Ohio State. But here's the big story, is that there are a bunch of Ohio State fans who claim that they're going to boycott College Game Day, and their goal is to essentially have people over by the set telling people, don't be here, like make them look foolish, go to the Urban Meyer set and watch the Fox pregame show that nobody watches on television and support Urban Meyer, not ESPN. Now, at first I thought, well, maybe they're just trying to give Urban Meyer some love. As I dug a little bit more into this, Ohio State fans feel like ESPN has slighted them over the last several years, both in the way they've talked about them around whether or not they should make the playoffs, I guess, as well as how they covered the Urban Meyer situation. I don't know. But a lot of their fans feel like ESPN, not kind to Ohio State and the Big Ten. So they're trying to boycott College Game Day this weekend. It all sounds cute and fun. I'll bet you there will be tens of thousands of people behind the set when you turn it on this weekend holding their signs.
If people have a chance to be on television and they're going to get their sign posted, it'll all get organized. What's sort of bizarre to me, and I've read a couple different stories on this since I hadn't heard of this because it's just not on my radar until you brought it up, and so I did some reading about it. And so you get the report about what's being discussed, and then I read like an Ohio State perspective. You know, sort of a local Ohio State sort of fan blog kind of discussion of what to do. What a bunch of whiny jackasses. What a spoiled, rotten bunch of punks.
I didn't read the Ohio State portion of it. What are they claiming?
This given that ESPN has a bias against us. It's not given at all. It's clearly not given. There's nothing given about that. There's no given there. It's wrong. What you're saying is
wrong.
They
seem to talk about you a lot.
Everybody gets talked about.
I think they really like Justin Fields. Didn't Urban Meyer work at ESPN? I'm sure they hate him.
It's nonsense. It's the same reason like a fan base is like, I don't want Troy Aikman calling my games because he hates me. Joe Buck stinks. He doesn't like the Vikings. Shut up with that. You whiny defensive zilch. Just enjoy your constant championship appearances, please. Enjoy your constant Big Ten titles. Enjoy your constant finishing in the Final Four. Enjoy your constant winning. The whining, the chip on your shoulder. This you're not some sort of also-ran that can't get yourself on television. You're not the seventh team in the Big Ten, for God's sakes. You're a national power that everybody respects. You're the overdog. Enjoy it. Walk around with your chest puffed out. Go or don't go. But the idea that ESPN is mean to us, so we're not going to show up. If you don't want to show up because it's early in the morning, don't show up. You're gonna boycott Lee Corso? Because they're mean to ESPN, doesn't cover you the way you'd like. This is the whiniest, spoiled nonsense I have read in some time.
That pregame show, by the way,
is excellent.
It's the best. They have the best version of the guy who's just there to kind of be funny that there is. You know that I would normally get rid of the Terry Bradshaw character as soon as I took over running a network. That guy's off my pregame show. I don't mean specifically him, although he'd be one of the guys. But that role of like, be funny and say crazy things, but don't ever make any interesting points that actually are analytically sound. Gone. Immediately. You're out. I want information. I want analysis with nuggets. I want to learn. I want to be smarter while being entertained. Corso can stay. Corso is...
he's like grandfathered in.
Not only grandfathered in, but I think he puts in a little bit more work. There's a he is fun and he is shticky like Terry Bradshaw, but he's not desperate to try to do, I'm from Louisiana, we cook up crawdads. Like, it's not annoying.
Yeah, I mean, his delivery has lost its fastball,
yes,
if we're being honest, but there's still, I'm with you, he actually puts in the work to give you the nuggets. I mean, he gets through it. He's holding his pencil. He's got to grip Kirk Herbstreit's arm to get through. He's like, now hold on. Let me give you this one point. Their last 10
And Kirk Herbstreit
games.
Is like his caretaker.
Yeah.
Their relationship
great.
Is
Desmond
adorable.
Howard's great. Reese is good.
Desmond Howard is a 10. Get that guy more jobs, as far as I'm concerned. Reese is awesome as a host. He might be the best studio host that there is right now. I really like Kirk Herbstreit.
He's terrific.
He's been fantastic for a long, long time. Yeah. That's not breaking any news. But even where they minor in some of the fun, where they minor in the nonsense, they major in football. They give you great feature stories. They give you great behind-the-scenes stuff, great access, great interviews. They've got some of their field reporters that are on site doing different things, interviewing people.
Every angle served. They've got gambling angles. They've got human interest angles. They've got, you know,
Bear with his gambling score.
All the stuff.
But the thing I love is their celebrity picks. They've made that really watchable and fun. It was Chip and Joanna Gaines this weekend. I don't care about Chip and Joanna Gaines. They came in on a big tractor down a bridge at Baylor. Everyone was going ham sandwich. It's just a great show. Mm-hmm. It's so perfect. So if you want to not show up Ohio State, you do that and enjoy the other worst shows as far as I'm concerned. College Game Day tweeted out, it's your turn, Columbus. See you next week.
Like 400 Ohio State fans are like, no thanks. Isn't there an SEC game to go to?
We'll be fine. Why aren't you at SEC this weekend? Well, it is a better conference than yours, so stop taking offense,
right.
Number one.
You're the second best conference in America.
And number two, this week, you've got the great game, so they'll be there. But this is all on their campus on Saturday.
It's so whiny.
ESPN's College Game Day, Fox's Big Noon Kickoff, Big Ten Network has a tailgate show that they're doing, all from 9 to noon. Imagine being on that campus on Saturday for Ohio State, Penn State.
Yeah, but it's a noon kick, by the way, with one of those weird, I hate when big games like that aren't prime time, but.
I dig if I get one because nice I have appa. Something during the afternoon, as long as I have something at night to look forward to.
Nice little lunchtime viewing.
Grant and Danny on the Fan, our first look at Week 12 in the NFL. We'll hop around on the schedule to games that intrigue us next.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Boys. To then go 1-5 down the stretch.
Right.
The Redskins would go 6-0.
Again, I'm not saying it's happening or likely. It obviously is the opposite of that.
Right. So what I'm saying is don't waste your money. Don't light your money on fire or wipe your tuchus with it.
Is it worth the 1-in-a-million chance to turn $100 into $100,000?
This one's not. What I'm saying is go to DraftKings, go to FanDuel, spend $100 on lineups. You got a better shot doing that. You got a better shot picking games on any given week. Put $100 on an 18 parlay and then buy a house if you get it right. You're way better off doing that than you are picking the Redskins.
But
to
you
win.
Get that if you just put $100 down.
I'm very aware of the math.
You could make $100,000.
Yeah. This is how Chris Russell's getting his eyebrow shaved. This is how Grant Paulson parts with $100. There's way better ways to spend it. You could just buy like 25 Happy Meals and be so happy. Right?
I'll eat some fries.
You'd finish your fries.
Chicken nugget Happy Meals or little tiny cheeseburgers?
You can buy all kinds because you got $100 you can play with. You take that $100 and make yourself happy with it.
I could order so many things off the McDonald's dollar menu. I don't think it'd be actually 100 things.
It'd be like 93.
87.
With taxation. Yeah.
Just get so many little nuggets and little fries. Oh, it'd be so good.
So good.
Maybe that's what I should
little
do.
Little fry shooters.
All right, let's get to Week 12 around the NFL. First thoughts on some of these games this weekend. Taking a peek at the schedule. Starts on Thursday night with AFC South football. My rule that the AFC South should never get to play on primetime has not been enacted yet.
They're not following your rule.
So the boring Colts play the Texans coming off of a stinker against the Baltimore Ravens. Both are 6-4. Winner of this game, driver's seat in the division. I got to imagine at home Houston wins. They're better than Indy, right?
They need it, too. I mean, they're both 6-4. Colts are kind of doing this with smoke and mirrors. They lost Marlon Mack for the season. Not for the season, for at least for a long time, with a fractured hand. Jacoby Brissett's been doing just enough. Houston needs this one. You would think they get this game. They're favored.
Seahawks 8-2 at the Eagles 5-5. Back-to-back games at Lincoln Financial Field in Philly against elite teams. They got to see New England and Brady, and now Seattle and Russell Wilson. Eagles defense playing great. Carson Wentz and that offense struggling some. They just have no speed at wide receiver with the DeSean Jackson injury. And Seattle at 8-2, a chance to hang with San Francisco within a game in the NFC West.
Philadelphia favorite in this game. You mentioned it. They're at home. It's a buck and a half, or a point and a half, rather.
That still shocks me.
I was surprised by that.
They're a point and a half favorite?
They are. Opened at -3, and it's been moved to a point and a half, point and a
hook. I love Seattle getting points in that
game. So do I. I mean, listen, they got to go across country. We all know that. Alshon Jeffrey looks like he's coming back. That doesn't help with the speed quandary of the Eagles, and because they're not very dynamic going down the field, but all the weapons help.
Quandary Ismail or something else?
Quandary Ismail.
Right. Saints host the Panthers. New Orleans is 8-2. Carolina's 5-5. Carolina was 4-0 in Kyle Allen's first four starts, and they're 1-3, I think, since now. They've fallen to 5-5. New Orleans is going to blow them out in the dome, I believe.
I agree with you, but still the line jumped out at me. 9.5. New Orleans is favored in this game.
Yeah, but this is the last 2 weeks, Carolina has been rotten.
They look
bad.
They
can't really throw the ball. It's Christian McCaffrey and a prayer. That's their offense.
The bloom is off the rose on Carolina. I like their receivers. I like Moore and Samuels together. Neither is unbelievable, but as a tandem, you try to stop one, the other guy thrives. They shouldn't be this bad, but they've looked terrible the last 2 weeks.
Break up the Dolphins after back-to-back wins. They hung around and just about got a third straight W. They ended up losing their 2-8. They play 4-6 Cleveland. I think the Browns win for a third straight week and begin their second half renaissance. I'm on record as saying now, I was wrong. I thought they'd make the playoffs. They're not going to. But I'll bet you in the end they finish 7-9 and on a little bit of a heater.
They still could. It's not likely, but they still could. If they can sneak in at 9-7, which means they got to start putting some hay in the barn. They're 4-6 now. Bad schedule down the stretch in the second half. They could finish 4-2, 5-1. 4-2 probably won't do it. 5-1 might.
In that division elsewhere, the Steelers are at the Bengals. I saw that quarterback Mason Rudolph was talking about his involvement in the altercation with Myles Garrett and why he was grabbing at Garrett's helmet. Said, I didn't like being taken down on the final play of the game the way that he did. He will play. He has to pay a fine. He's without his center. And that suspension for Marquise Pounce, he's going to go multiple weeks now. But the Bengals are 0-10. Cincinnati, the only team right now scheduled to pick ahead of the Redskins in the draft.
And they're terrible. I mean, they are. They're competitive. They're trying. They're in some of these games. Again, Baltimore beat the doors off them a couple weeks ago, but they're doing that to everybody. They just finished doing the same thing to Houston. Cincinnati's 0-10. I know that, but they're not a terrible 0-10. It's not an expansion team 0-10 where they're losing by 40 points a week.
New England's hosting Dallas, Patriots, Cowboys. This is probably one of the three or four best games of the weekend. 9-1 New England at home. Dallas is all alone in first place in the division. This is a great opportunity for the Eagles if they can win. Very likely Dallas will be 6-5 and come back to you on Sunday. The Patriots offense, though, has gotten really boring.
It's not good right now. It's not. We talked about this a bit yesterday. I didn't realize how much they would miss Rob Gronkowski. Even if he's not Rob Gronkowski, the presence, I think, mattered so much more. He was a matchup nightmare. Everything they did kind of ran through him and allowed other guys like the Edelmans and the Dorsetts of the world to thrive. You haven't gotten much from Sony Michel this year. That running back by committee thing isn't buttering the biscuit. Offensive line isn't as good. Brady's got to become sort of a game manager at this stage because their defense is so great. His job is to not screw it up at this point. It's almost like 2001 Tom Brady.
It's a 4:25 kickoff. Sunday Night Football is your game of the weekend. Green Bay at 8-2 and San Francisco 9-1. Packers, 49ers, winner of this game with Seattle, probably emerges as everybody's favorite to come out of the NFC. Green Bay's defense has been exceptional. They got Aaron Rodgers not turning the ball over. They can run it a little bit more than they have in the past. And Kyle Shanahan is who we thought he was. A lot of people bashed him for a long time around here. Good luck with that. They got a chance to get to 10-1 under Shanahan this weekend.
Here's what's sticking to my mind. One of Green Bay's two losses this year was to Philadelphia. The only team that's really dominated them from an offensive to defensive perspective, and they ran the ball. Jordan Howard ran it. Miles Sanders ran it. Everybody did. What did San Francisco do better than anybody else? They run the ball. That's the only thing that gives me pause about this. I think Green Bay's the best team in the NFC, but San Francisco may be a tough matchup for them. You know how good they are defensively, but doesn't matter who they put back there. It's like Mike Shanahan in the 90s with Detroit. They could bring back Olandis Garrett. He'd run for 100 yards this game.
I actually think the Packers win this game.
I had the same feeling.
9-2, and so same record as San Francisco. I think the 49ers are really good. I just don't think they're as good as their record. And I'm not sold on Jimmy Garoppolo. He makes a lot of mistakes against a defense like Green Bay. I could see Mike Pettine dialing some things up to confuse him. Last game of the week will be Monday Night Football in L.A. Ravens, Rams, cannot wait to watch Lamar Jackson in primetime. 8-2 Baltimore trying to get a ninth win. Only team in the conference anybody thinks better than them is New England, and they throttled the Patriots just a couple of weeks ago. So that's your first look on this Wednesday at some of your Week 12 games. We've got our power rankings coming up in 1 hour from right now. Next, our double play and then the Beltway Blitz. You're listening to Grant and Danny.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify is got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medella, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Medella is your reward. Medella, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Grant and Danny with you until 2. If you miss any part of our show, you can rewind. There's a new rewind function via radio.com. If you don't have radio.com yet as an app on your phone, you just have to. It's the best way to listen to our show live, day in and day out, on the move, in the car, at the office, wherever. But the cool thing is you got 24 hours to go back and just rewind to the start of segments and scroll your way through the show. Pretty neat. You missed any part of today's show already? We've had some gems. Make sure you go grab those. Radio.com rewind. It is time for our double play. What's going on in our lives? Nothing to do with sports.
I'll get this going, my friend. I will get us started here. Time for a Danny Ruye show review.
Ooh.
Jack Ryan season 2. Jack Ryan season 2. Season 1, kind of the breakout hit. Amazon Prime trying to compete with Netflix. In terms of, you know, kind of original content, sort of their own shows, have never really hit home runs.
Where would you rank Disney Plus right now among Netflix, Amazon Prime? Am I forgetting anybody?
There's Hulu.
Would Hulu count? I mean,
I don't
even put that in the same category.
Yeah, it does. It's
number
one.
They don't have
one.
Their own content, really, Hulu. Do they?
They have some originals, The Handmaid's Tale, a couple other shows on there.
That wins a lot of awards.
And I'm sure people like it very much. Good for them. Disney Plus is number one, and it's not close.
Really?
It's best value, there's just so much, and you can also get through it.
You've got to get rid of Netflix or Disney Plus. You're getting rid of Netflix first.
Which is unbelievable for me to say, as much as I love Netflix, but yes, because Netflix is almost 3 times as expensive. Disney Plus is where it's at, because for me, I use it for everything, because I got kids and the whole nine yards. So, Jack Ryan season 2. This is the heir apparent to me of 24. This is what 24 should have been, or could have been. Right, but we got more and more ridiculous, and they were hampered by network stuff. And putting it on a streaming service like this, where it doesn't have the same rules, where it's like an HBO, where you don't have to, kind of follow the same stuff. John Krasinski has graduated from Jim Halpert making weird faces at the camera when Michael Scott does something or Dwight Schrute is weird to full-fledged entertainment guy. He is stoic. He is determined. He is awesome in this role. One of my favorite, underrated actors, Wendell Pierce, who was Bunk on The Wire. One of the great characters, the Detective Bunk, plays James Greer, who you know from movie fame and all the kind of Tom Clancy stuff. Season one was kind of your standard. He's battling terrorism. Season two, if they'd gone down that same road with some of the same tropes, you might have kind of rolled your eyes. Completely different. Very well worth your time. 8 episodes each season. We got a little bit over the top, honestly, in season two. But you know what? They earned it. You're allowed to do crazy blank when you put in sort of the work of building the characters, making you care about different people, the environments, the acting. Everything about it is very, very good. Highly recommend Jack Ryan, both seasons one and two, on Amazon Prime. You got access to it. Just 16 episodes. Can you get in?
I'm not so sure yet.
Yeah.
I kind of want to watch Peaky Blinders first.
Oh, it's so good.
Everyone keeps telling me now about Peaky Blinders.
I want you to watch Peaky Blinders, and I've given you my seal of approval on that one. That's a 9 out of 10 carbohydrates. I want you to come in and know who I'm talking about because I can do all the voices from the show.
Right.
I just want you to get it.
The problem is how many episodes I've got to watch. I got a lot of things to watch, but I've realized now this is the time of year to do it.
Yeah.
I find myself now like watching some Christmas movies here and there, trying to get going. It's November 20th. I need to get into the Christmas spirit.
Get your peakies done. It's only 6 episodes per season.
But what if I watch all the Peaky Blinders and now it's December 14th and I missed out on Christmas with the Cranks?
You didn't miss them. You've already seen them. You know them. They'll always be there.
I love them. They get me into the mood. They get me into the spirit of the holiday.
You know what should get you into the mood is Peaky Blinders. You'll be in the mood to just talk British stuff. Like you'll secretly want to be a British gangster right around the Great Depression. Like, it's so good.
That does sound fun.
That show is awesome.
It is time for my double play. I know that this is supposed to be non-sports. I've been meaning to do this for a while. I figured this would be a decent time to do it. I just wanted to talk about the fact that when I go to Redskins games on Sundays right now, and I interact with fans that are tailgating out in the parking lot, I love that they're still enjoying themselves and having fun. I don't know how they, in their minds, kind of justify anymore being there or why they're there or if they think the team will win or not. But I see people shotgunning beers together and high-fiving, and I see people throwing bags. Not at Anthony's in Dunkirk. It's not quite bag night at FedEx Field. But you know, I bumped into a bunch of people just walking through the green lot up to the stadium who are listeners to the show, and I'll go over and talk to them and chat with them a little bit. It's almost like necessary for me now to take a lap around the stadium before the game walking in. And I'm not walking all around FedEx. It's too big a stadium. But rather than kind of just going straight with my press credential into the stadium, into the upstairs, into the warmth and sit there and watch the game, I like getting a taste of like the fan base, so to speak. And the people that are still there, Danny, I'm telling you, there is something about it that lifts my spirit. Like, you would get a lot out of the experience of just walking around to those people rocking their Skins gear that are still there, that are enjoying it. It helps me get through whatever is going on, whatever this is right now. It's awesome to just talk to those people. A lot of them were thinking, we're going to win this game. It's the Jets. Okay, maybe not. Maybe you get blown out by 31.
Like, you don't want to face the big picture of how futile that is. You know what? You beat the Jets, so what?
But for them, it's a Sunday where they got to meal prep the night before, mm-hmm. and they're taking out their tents and their tables, and they're grilling their meats in the parking lot. It's an event. It's like having a fun party with friends. You know, you go to your buddy's house sometime to watch games, or you go out to dinner with couples or whatever. Mm-hmm. This is their thing. I love that there are still people doing that.
You know,
not
what,
many of them.
You know what it feels like? And I don't mean to be flippant about it, but for them, it feels like a wake when the way you're describing it.
And that's kind of
right. Open. Where it's like, you know, it's sad. Ultimately, the overhanging thing is sad, but we're getting together and we're going to sell it. We're going to do it together. We're going to go through whatever this is together. And there's comfort in that. There's joy in that.
My buddy just texted me. It's a great point. So we still go to O's games together. You know, this year, the Orioles games, so awful. You mm-hmm. think the Redskins games are bad. I mean, it's a 45,000 seat stadium where there's 7,000 people there, and it's late in a season where you're going to lose 100-plus games, like mm-hmm. 115 games or whatever. He goes, it's like going to an O's game. It's just nostalgic. Doesn't matter how bad they are. The stadium gives you a feel like nothing else. The smell can't be compared to. It's true. Now, you walk around FedEx right before that game, and I'm 10 again. I'm back there with my dad on a Sunday, walking in the fall. I love everything about going to an NFL game. I know that stadium's terrible, but it's my terrible stadium. And I'll be there as long as I can be on Sundays. But I'm not paying to be there. I'm not shelling out money to sit in the cold,
right,
sit in the pouring rain. You guys are, and I really, it's a, but a lot of people make fun of it.
Yeah, but I think you
it.
Would. I think you would, in fairness. Like, if,
no,
if you didn't have your credential, you'd pay to be part of that, which is, I don't know. I mean, there's something noble in that.
Or is there? I don't know. But, yeah, I probably would be one of those people. But I guess my point is nobody ever kind of says, hey, good on you, or thanks for keeping this thing alive slightly.
There you go.
And I wanted to do that. Beltway Blitz is next. Speaking of the Redskins being driven into the ground, the guy at the controls of the steering wheel is Bruce Allen. Will he be back next year? Grant and Danny on the Fan.
Danny Ruggier for my friends at Ted Britt Ford. Right now, I'm talking about Right Meow at Ted Britt Ford. Your F-150 HQ, get up to $16,300 below MSRP on a 2019 F-150 truck and no payments for 60 days. More on that in a second. $15,000 off a 2019 Ford Mustang. $9,000 off a 2020 Ford Explorer, $8,000 off a 2019 Ford Ranger, and how about $5,500 below that MSRP on a 2019 Ford Escape? Now, no payments for 60 days. Why? I'll tell you why. 60 years ago, Ted Britt Ford opened up. They're like, we're going to make a car dealership here. I don't know if that's how they talked. I assume everybody before 1980 talked that way. We're going to have a car dealership here. We're going to give great value on cars. We'll take care of people. Something called Ted Britt for Life. That's what they've done. Ted Britt for Life, the best buying experience in town, and then confidence for life. That includes, okay, these are things they just take care of. Powertrain, service loaners, battery replacement, windshield repair, complimentary Virginia State inspection, all for life. New, pre-owned, doesn't matter. Anything less than 100,000 miles, you get it. Taken care of for life. You buy some 99,000-mile car, congratulations. You got the same deals as 0.0 folk. These guys are great at what they do. Let them take care of you where they've taken care of me for several years. Three different cars for the Rouye family. You got to go see them. Fair fact. Can't show it. Look away at Tedbrick.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.